You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
This next story is absolutely fascinating, and I think many of you will recall the Tier 2 banking crisis, which started back in February of 2002 when Sambo Bank, then South Africa's seventh largest bank, collapsed. And it all started with an announcement by Absa back in January of that year of significant losses in its micro-lending subsidiary Unifer. Now, Sambo had a similar clientele to Unifer, and a run on Sambo started that wiped out 20% of Sambo's deposits within 5 weeks. And the collapse of Sambo triggered other runs. And within a few weeks, South Africa's fifth largest bank, Board of Executives, BOE, had failed too. And in the end, we saw 22 banks closing, half of the total number of banks in South Africa at the time, and 10% of the banking sector by size. And the Reserve Bank chose not to bail out these banks. Instead, as it was concerned about the higher inflation because of an exchange rate depreciation at the time, the SARB raised interest rates as the crisis unfolded. And it was surprising, and I guess in retrospect, given that it was a pure liquidity crisis and that all the affected banks were solvent and well-capitalized, probably the opposite of what the Reserve Bank should have done. Anyway, it's an episode of South African banking history that's remained largely unexamined, I think, and I think there's definitely an MBA in it somewhere or a doctoral thesis. But what is equally interesting is what emerged out of the ashes of Sambo at the embers of a fintech phoenix that is a story of probably the biggest guys in banking that you've likely never heard of. Henny Dreyer and Anthony de Grey Birch. Welcome to Classic Business, both of you. Now, Henny, firstly, you are the CEO and co-founder of Direct Transact. It's the largest independent provider of transaction infrastructure for banks and businesses in the country. A far cry from the small Free State farming community of Heilbronn. How did you come to work at Sambo in the 90s?
Michael, yes, thank you for having us. I first went to Tukkies and did a BCom honours and master's degree, and then had to go to military service. And then post-military service, my promoter of my master's degree actually recommended to someone in Sambo that they headhunt me, and that's how I ended up there.
And you then quickly rose through the bank. I believe you became the youngest ever Exco member of the bank. What happened to you during that that liquidation?
Look, I think it was personally a very traumatic experience, and I think to the extent that, you know, in essence, you feel like the world around you is collapsing, and you've got this huge sense of responsibility towards your staff and really feeling very helpless in a situation like that.
Anthony, just to bring you in, you are the COO and the co-founder of Direct Transact, which emerged out of those Sambo ashes. You grew up in wartime Rhodesia. What was it like back then? What do you recall of that period of your life?
Michael, first, thanks for having us on the show today. I'm taking the question as a rare time around Sambo Bank and the collapse and what I felt around that.
Yeah.
And it was a traumatic experience for myself as well. My wife had just fallen pregnant with our second kid and had resigned from work, and I found myself retrenched. So it was a difficult time for the family, but I think, you know, through difficult times, obviously Henny and myself came together to see and identify an opportunity through that process. And through that, you know, I suppose the best thing I ever could have, or whatever could have happened to me, was the collapse of Sambo and then the creation of Direct Transact, which has been a dream for me.
And it's such an interesting story because of that part of what happens to Sambo and then Direct Transact coming out of this, because many businesses, I think, right now through the pandemic are potentially going through their own crises where colleagues are being retrenched, and there is some IP and vision sitting within that group of individuals who worked inside an organization that you can now go and start something new and fresh. But it's a scary time, and it's exactly what you did, Henny. At that time, you convinced a few of your retrenched colleagues, along with Anthony, to join in on this new venture, Direct Transact. And at the time, it was to offer software as a service in the banking and payment space. Now, right now, that doesn't sound so novel. 20 years ago, that must have been your colleagues must have looked at you and thought, what are you smoking? I mean, how did that conversation go to try and actually persuade your colleagues that they should forego looking for stable employment and join a startup with this new and at the time radical idea?
Michael, naivety is sometimes a very strong suit, because we obviously didn't understand the journey that we were embarking on. We just had this dream. And I think, you know, you're right. So all of these staff would get, you know, offers from S&D and African Bank to join them. And then there's these two oaks trying to convince them to stay on something that sounded very far-fetched. And in essence, the story at that stage was that all the second-tier banks in the country were sponsored into participation at a bankers level. And we just felt that there was a business case in that, where we could provide them the opportunity to become direct settlement and clearing members to BankServe without having to go through a sponsorship relationship, which obviously implies that the sponsoring bank is imposing its cost structures onto that bank.
And that is the big gap and market opportunity that that you obviously saw at the time. How did you fund this? Because now you're talking about everyone being retrenched and still very early on in your careers. You've got to go back and potentially say to the wife, well, are we bonding the house on this idea? How did you fund this, Henny?
Yeah, I mean, we took our pensions, we took our retrenchment packages, we took any access facilities on our bonds, we lent money from them, and we just invested it into the business. So we had many mornings where at 1 o'clock you would wake up with acid burn, and the only thing that would help is a glass of milk.
I mean, that sounds like exactly the kind of thing we never hear about when we talk about the entrepreneurial success stories. We see the very back end of what is a long and tough journey. And that's why this story is so important, because entrepreneurship is tough, but it's worthwhile at the end of it. Anthony, if you look at where you are now as Direct Transact, just run me through the numbers, because you're a pretty large organization.
Yeah, I think we've grown the business quite nicely over the 19-odd years. And I think from the numbers, it's self-evident that we've grown the business from a startup entrepreneurial business to quite a successful, I wouldn't say medium to large-sized business today, processing on average about 30 billion rands worth of value of transactions through the environment today.
I mean, that is also underplaying the numerous awards and industry accolades that you've received along the road. Henny, you've also just announced that three financial services or fintech heavy hitters are now joining you to help pursue this vision at Direct Transact. Firstly, before we talk about the new acquirers, what is that vision essentially, and which way do you see banking going?
Michael, I think that, you know, the onslaught of COVID actually expedited a lot of processes, and I think one of the things that it expedited is the concept of a digital economy, and with that, obviously, a digital citizen. And that's got huge implications for your current incumbents, because it implies that consumers will have to be serviced differently into the future. And I think adding to this, you've got the fintech players that's coming up with very innovative product solutions and offerings that's much more customer-centric. So I think we're living in really exciting times. I think we're going to see a huge transformation in the financial services industry, not just in South Africa, but globally. And I think it's going to be to the benefit of the consumer.
And that is the bottom line. You know, this whole consumer experience and expectation has significantly changed thanks to technology. But I think COVID accelerated that, brought that forward by 5 to 10 years in some instances. And now, as a consumer, you expect the kind of ease of experience, the user experience of just being able to tap a button and transfer funds. People look at the current archaic rails that we have, where if you want to move money from one account to a different bank account, it only clears after a period of 24, 48 hours. And they ask why. You know, why are the rails antiquated? Why doesn't it work for them? Why when I go to a bank, is it where they seem to have invented the word silo? Because if you want to talk about a home loan, that's fine. If you want to talk about your credit card, well, you've got to go through the same kind of fecaing and get to know your customer process on the phone all over again. It's opportunity for players such as yourselves, though. Anthony, what are you excited about in terms of these new hires? Let's just talk about the first one. He's a fintech trailblazer, Christo Darvel. I think very well known in the industry. He founded 2020 and 227. What does he bring to the mix for you?
Well, I think with Christo, we've worked with Christo for many years. And our relationship started with Christo back in Sambo when Henny and myself and Christo jointly started the launch of 2020, the first digital bank in the country. And, you know, back in 2001, 2000, it was unheard of internet banking. So I think Christo is a pioneer in digital banking and where it is going in the industry today. And I think what he brings to the Direct Transact team is just a more dedicated focus on a customer experience and how we centralize customer experiences to single customer channels. So he's got a wealth of experience in that, and it just enhances our technology platform to deliver that and to bring a more ease of service to the consumer.
And you're largely, Henny, to bring you in a B2B type business. I mean, you process a lot of the, I think 70% of South Africa's clearing banks, and you know, 30 billion in monthly flows is massive. But your business to business, in terms of customer experience, how does that change the way your other business customers expect service from you? Does it, or does this mean that you're now heading into a more B2C type environment?
No, I think we are still going to play the enabler of fintechs and financial services and other service delivery companies. But I think it actually touches it on two levels. I think the one is that the end consumer experience utilizing our technology must be customer-centric. So it shouldn't be a cookie-cutter, one-solution-fits-all type of philosophy, which is vastly different from how a lot of the financial services are currently delivered. And secondly, I think the customer centricity goes then from a B2B perspective into how do you enable your customer, the corporate, to literally configure products and roll it out in a very quick turnaround time by rules-based engines and not going into legacy coding type of exercises.
And I've heard some horror stories about the ancient code that some of these legacy spaghetti banking systems have been operating on. Many of them are trying to be lifted and shifted out, but it's proving a lot more challenging than I think anyone ever had anticipated. And why we see a lot of the new digital native, digital first competitors coming in and creating such a stir, also presenting such a threat. Your other two hires are Arena McDonald. He's the former CFO of Standard Bank Africa, and Atlas Mara. What do they bring to the table?
I think from an Arena perspective, we're currently, Michael, busy with looking at Africa and Middle East as a marketplace for our service offering. We feel that as a business, we've matured to the extent that we understand how to deliver that service. And I think Arena brings a vast amount of knowledge around how do you establish businesses within the continent. And, you know, what the right partnership approaches that you should take. I think she learned valuable lessons in both her Standard Bank and her Atlas Mora capacity.
And then who's the third hire? Because I believe it is three big names. I don't have the third one in front of me.
The third one is Clinton Haley, ex-FNB CTO for credit cards and for home loans. And what we did with Clinton's appointment is, in essence, created more capacity within the business, where the current incumbent that looks after the current production environment is going to, you know, give that responsibility over to Clinton, and he's going to focus primarily on the optimization of the systems for a digital world.
Lastly, and I want this from both of you, Anthony, maybe you can go first. The last 20 years must have proven absolutely transformative for you on a personal and a professional level. Knowing what you know now, what would you go back and tell Anthony circa 2001, 2002 about this entrepreneurial adventure that you're about to embark on that might have made things just a touch easier?
Well, Michael, I think Ernie touched on it earlier. Ignorance is bliss. And I think, you know, looking back, the obstacles that we had to overcome and the challenges we had to face were more daunting than I probably originally expected. But we overcame all of those. But I would go back and I would tell myself that this is a journey that will change my life or change your life. It would be an experience and a friendship that, you know, Ernie and myself have established over the 20 years that I can't compare to anything else that I've had. So definitely a well worth exercise, a fulfilling life. Have I had that? Definitely. And I would go back and I would change nothing.
Henny?
I think, Michael, I think to add on to Anthony, I think, you know, you have to play the long game. And the long game is, you know, creating a vision and then staying true to the course and not becoming despondent because of setbacks. And there will always be setbacks and challenges. So, you know, creating that vision and living that dream and eating and sleeping that dream in a passionate way that everybody around you can feed off that energy is absolutely critical. And then a small little footnote is any decision that you take that's based on your ego is the wrong decision.
Yeah, that's a great little footnote because I see a lot of ego in Silicon Valley at the moment making some very curious decisions. But within that, I think your story is so important right now as well for many people who might be going through a very difficult retrenchment process after years with colleagues. Remember that out of the ashes of the old can emerge something newer and even better in its place. Henny Dreyer and Anthony de Grey Birch, probably the biggest banking story that you've never heard of.